Good evening, EC Grace. I pray that you had a wonderful Easter, a blessed experience as you came together with family, as you worshiped the Lord, as we remembered our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he's risen from the grave, that he's alive, that we can put all of our faith, all of our hope, all of our trust in him. I know we came together as a family and Kayla was over and we just had a wonderful time where we sang and we sang together during the worship and then we went to the Lord to hear his word and message. But I look forward to seeing you again tonight as we come together in prayer. I believe my longing to be with you is going to only intensify and only grow. One reason for that is I'm praying for you daily. When we are praying for one another each and every day, our minds and our hearts are in tune with those persons, those people, or that individual that we are praying for. I hope that you are praying for each other just as I am for you. I'm also trusting that we're getting closer to the time where we will be able to gather together. But this evening, I want to just look at a devotional for a time with you as we go to God's word on who shall we look to? Who do you look to in times of trial? Who do you look to when things can get rough? On One America News, a commentator said this, "With uncertainty taking hold of global markets, job prospects, and daily life, people are looking to political leaders for guidance." He went on to say this, "But some political leaders are giving the wrong advice and at times are simply spreading misinformation." Now, while that may be hard to believe, I don't think that's hard to believe for any of us, depending who you're listening to. But I know somebody who we can look to for guidance who will never give the wrong advice, who will never spread misinformation, who you will never have to wonder how they are articulating and whether you can believe it or not. That is our Heavenly Father, our God, our Lord, our Savior. You can trust what He says. I'm grateful, though, for our political leaders who are trying to guide us through this COVID-19 pandemic. And as collectively, we may individually disagree with some or many aspects of decisions that have been made, or from those political leaders or those political figures who disagree with current leadership. I'm not here to articulate who I agree with and who I disagree with or who I trust or who I don't. But the fact of the matter, as Christians, the Bible tells us that we can trust in the Lord God Almighty 100%. As Christians, the Bible tells us we are to pray for kings and all who are in authority in 1 Timothy 2:2. We should be praying for our leaders. And we should also be in subjection to the governing authorities in Romans 13:1. As long as those authorities do not cause us to sin against God's word or to act in a way that would be contrary to how God would have us be. And we should do our part. Washing our hands, maintaining social distancing, quarantining ourselves, that may all be good medical and political guidance for not contracting the virus. But what if that virus touches your heart? What if that virus touches your mind? What if the virus in your life is causing a situation that is producing fear or bringing on panic or creating anxiety and doubt about your present situation or your future situation? You see, the guidance we need through these days of uncertainty is more than political. It's more than medical. The guidance we need today is spiritual. We need a guide for our hearts, our souls, our emotions, our minds, as we face the effects of the coronavirus, and as we go into the future facing the unknown aftermath of this coronavirus. And we have God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who can guide us every step of the way. One of the precious truths of the Bible is that it likens us to sheep. Pastor, that's a precious truth, likening me to a sheep. But it likens us to a sheep with the Lord as our shepherd. That is very important. We're not just sheep without a shepherd. Of course, it's not very flattering to the ego to be called a sheep. Think about that for a minute. It's not very flattering to the proud of heart, for sure. We would prefer to be viewed as lions, as tigers. We would be prefer to be referred to as a strong, courageous animal, I guess. But a sheep? I don't know about that. Sheep, what are they? They're famously dumb. They're famously weak. They're helpless. They get lost easily. They'll follow others into very great danger or wander off into danger themselves and not even be aware of it. You know, you do not find football teams who have sheep as their mascot. I mean, think about this. In all of the sports industry, tell me what team that you go around with a hat on that has the sheep. You do not. But you know something? When we embrace what God says about us and thank Him that He is our shepherd, when we look to Him for all of our guidance, when we look to Him for all of our protection, some good things will happen in your life when you remember that about yourself. Psalms 80 verse 1 calls God the shepherd of Israel. And we know that the one who shepherded Israel has come to shepherd us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are told in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep." We just celebrated this over the past few weeks, that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And He calls Himself the good shepherd who lays down His life for who we are, His sheep. Certainly, we can look to and trust for guidance our God, who is our Savior, who has laid down His life for you, who has laid down His life for me. When God brought Israel, if you remember, right out of Egypt, He led them through the wilderness, all through the wilderness. And in Deuteronomy 1:19, this is called a great and terrible wilderness. Think about that for a minute. God's leading them into the unknown, and He's leading them into a great and terrible wilderness. We are hearing such things about this virus. But I want you to know today, and I want you to be reassured, there is no wilderness so great and terrible that God cannot guide us through it as we look to Him, as we look to Him, giving Him all of our trust. In Psalm 78, verses 52 and 53, the Lord says this, "Led forth His own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so that they did not fear." He led them safely, so they did not fear. Notice that word, safely. Why is that word there in that verse? Why is it said? Because the word implies that there were dangers. There must have been dangers in this wilderness. And there are dangers in the wilderness that can be summed up in one word and how to handle them and how to have victory. And that word is the word trust. Trust. Trust in His guidance. Trust in the Lord's provision in your life. It's a guarantee that God loves us, cares for us, and is our good shepherd. Psalm 78, 19 says that the people spoke against God, and they started to ask and doubt Him. They asked, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? What were they doing? They started doubting God. They started questioning His abilities, questioning that He would keep His promises to them. Where will we get food? Where will we get water? They were wondering. How will we survive? Anytime our lives are disrupted, especially when it comes to our survival, my job, how will I provide? How will I earn a living? How will I make up what I'm losing? Will I continue to be able to feed myself? Will I continue to be able to provide for my family? Will I continue to be able to have the necessities of life? Well, we know Psalm 23, do we not? Many of you do know Psalm 23 and probably could quote it for me right now. But now is the time for God's people to not just be able to quote it, but to truly take it in and believe it and to live it, to fully embrace it and trust in God. In chapter 23, verses 1, 3, and 5, we're told, the Lord is my shepherd. That is personal to you. He is your very shepherd. It says, He guides me, and He even, here we go, the answer to maybe that question, prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, even if that enemy is an invisible enemy. God can do the impossible. Our God can feed me in the wilderness. Our God can feed you in the wilderness. He can rain down manna. He can bring water from a rock. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, he tells us this, these things, talking about that time, happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. As we go through this mini wilderness, I don't believe it will be 40 years like it was for them. Let's do not start to grumble. Let's do not start to complain against God. Let's do not put the Lord to the test or try the Lord and His patience by doubting Him. You know, after they came through the wilderness, Moses told them this in Deuteronomy 2:7. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. Don't you love that? God wasn't aloof. He wasn't absentee. He wasn't AWOL. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you every step of the way. And then referring to Israel as Jacob, we see this in Deuteronomy 32:10. And in the howling waste of the wilderness, He, God, encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of His eye. Isn't that beautiful? This word pupil is translated elsewhere as the apple of His eye. One example is in Psalm 17:8. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Isn't that beautiful? Our Lord, our shepherd, is with us every step of the way. He cares for you. He loves you. And He is guiding us as if we were most precious in His sight, as if we were just the apple of His eye. How much would He care for us? When we come through this, Let's be a people who can look back and say, we trusted in the Lord. We did not grumble against him. We did not doubt him. And we even discovered new levels of trust, new levels of faith as we watched him keep his promises, as we watched him meet our needs. How do we get to new levels of trust? How do we get to new levels of faith? There's many different ways through God's word, but I want to just speak of two this evening. One way we get there is we go to God in prayer. We go to God in prayer. Psalm 61, 1 through 3 says this, "Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy." Think about that for a moment. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There is a recognition of humility before Almighty God. And we learn that right out of the gate in the Lord's Prayer that he gave to us in Matthew. "For you have been a refuge to me, a tower of strength against the enemy. So hear my cry, O God." David's saying, "Oh, give heed to my prayer. I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to you who is higher and greater than little old me." Ask God to lead in your life. Ask him to reveal himself in your life. Ask him to reveal to you what he would have you learn in this, to guide you to a higher place, to guide you to himself, a higher rock than yourself, so that you can find a new strength to persevere, so that you can find that strength to trust in the Lord, whatever may come. This virus, this COVID-19 crisis, this war against an individual enemy, it will pass, but trials and hardship will be here as long as the days that we live. And the more we learn this about the Lord, the greater we'll be in pleasing him, in trusting him, and following him as the sheep follow the good shepherd. I ask that you pray this not only for yourself, but that you develop a prayer life that prays this for your brothers and sisters as well. That rock is our Lord. And when we look to the Lord for that guidance, there upon that rock, we will find all the strength that we need. We will find all the strength that we need to possess to have victory in any circumstance or situation. Psalm 18, 1 through 3 says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Amazing. Develop a deeper and more meaningful prayer life. In fact, we're getting ready to come together in prayer. Oh, how I would love every single person to be coming together in prayer, that this wouldn't just be something I have to do, but it would be something I want to do, something I love to do. This is where I find my source of strength. This is where I tap into the strength of the rock. This is where I get my guidance. This is where I get my comfort. This is how I hear the Lord speaking to me. This is how God is lifting me up in times of hardship and trials and causing me to care for my fellow brother and sister. This is where I need to go. I have the ability to go to the throne room of the very God himself, God Almighty, my Abba Father, my Savior. So that's one area is in your prayer life. As we close tonight, the next area, and I bet you can guess what I'm going to say, get into God's Word. Be in this, my friends. Feed on the Word of God. Let's just look at a few verses in Psalms. In Psalm 119, 151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Truth. Remember, we spoke about that a little earlier in this evening's devotional. You will never, my friends, get the wrong advice. You will never have misinformation from God's Word. He doesn't contradict himself, and he is never wrong. David said in Psalm 119:52, I have remembered your ordinances from old, O Lord, and comfort myself. I remember your word and comfort myself. Here is spiritual self-medication. This is the best medicine man could have that gave him hope in verse 49, as well as soul comfort. Here's where we get a constant influx of hope and comfort and leading and guidance and truth, and it comes straight from God himself. Have we forgotten that we can go to God's Word and comfort ourselves by meditating on the very words of God, who is, the Bible says, the God of all comfort? Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Psalm 119:24 says, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Not only do we have his comfort, but his counsel. God is called in Isaiah 9:6, the wonderful counselor. He will comfort you. He will counsel you. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. Through his word, he will give you wisdom, insight, and understanding. Psalm 119:98-100. God's word, bound in your heart, it will guide you when you walk about, watch over you when you sleep, and talk to you when you awake, and will be a lamp and a teaching light in your life. Proverbs 6:21-23. Who would not love that? Who would not want to abound and abide in God's word? In these days of self-quarantine, where we have so much more time to be alone, especially if we have family that we can be in God's word with. But whether you are alone by yourself or whether you're with family alone, let's get alone with our Lord. Get alone in prayer. Get alone in his word. Look to him for the guidance you need. He will give you the strength, the comfort, the counsel, the wisdom, the discernment that you need in any trial of your life. He longs to give it to you. He longs for you to come to him and fellowship with him. He longs for you to search after him and follow his every word. It pleases him greatly. These very times that we find ourselves can become an opportunity for our spiritual growth as never before. This is an opportunity for us and the church to grow in a deeper and more meaningful relationship with our Lord. Let's don't waste the time. Let's don't waste the chance. I want to ask you a question. If now you find that you aren't drawn to prayer, you find you're not drawn to God's word, just as before as everything was normal in your spiritual life that way, if before you weren't drawn to God's word, if before you weren't drawn to prayer, and now you still aren't, please ask yourself why. Are you learning what God wants you to learn about yourself? I pray and I trust that we all are seeking after the Lord, that we all are being built up in the knowledge of Him, that we all are becoming more like Christ in our lives as we not only grow in Him, but as we witness and are an example to others. I encourage you today, and I encourage you every day, that you should trust in Him and that you can trust in Him. I encourage you to grow deeper in Him with words of quality and prayer. Grow in that deep, meaningful prayer life and feed on God's word. It will be a blessing to your soul. It will be a blessing to your life. It is part of the blessed life. You won't regret it. You won't. Praise God that we have Him. Praise God we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, that we can go to Him and communicate words of quality, that we can talk directly to our Lord, that He's our comfort, He's our counselor, He's our strength, He's our rock, He's our refuge. We can trust Him in any wilderness, and that we can feed on His word and never be misinformed. Praise God. Amen. I look forward to seeing you shortly in prayer. Good night, EC Grace.